You are Locked On Wolverines, your daily podcast on the Michigan Wolverines, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Happy Sunday. We are back and doing it as promised. Locked On Wolverines podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where it is your team every day. I am your man on the ground, Isaiah Holt, publisher of Wolverines Wire through USA Today Sports Media Group. I am not on the ground today, as I had said, as far as this post game was concerned, because I had church until about 12:40 or so. And so there was no way to get to Ann Arbor and do that whole the whole game thing, because it's about an hour drive from here. Anyway, we are going to discuss Michigan's win over Ohio State. I was going to say thrilling, but I don't really think it was thrilling, right? Michigan led wire to wire. So, I mean, that's about as good as it gets. So Michigan ends up winning, 76 to 69, I believe. 77 to 69. I forget scores about as quickly as they happen. When I'm at the game, I'm always asking people, I either look at the scoreboard or I'm like, I'll be in the post-game press conference and be like, what was the score? And I do the same thing for football. I don't remember it about as fast as it goes in and out. But pretty good effort for Michigan. Like I said, Michigan led wire to wire. There was never a point in which Ohio State had a lead at any point. But it was kind of an, for the lack of a better term, an FAFO type game that Michigan could have been in. But the defense held strong when it needed to. And the offense did what it had to do when Ohio State couldn't score. Ohio State had a couple 4 or 5 minute droughts. Michigan ended the game with a 4+ minute field goal drought, but obviously was going to the foul line. So it was overall a pretty solid effort for the Wolverines. And they did a pretty good job on Bryce Sensabaugh, the freshman sensation there in Columbus. He managed 14 points in the game. I believe, yeah, 14 points. Bruce Thornton ended up getting 22, but they kept Bryce Sensabaugh under his average of 17. So that is what you want at any given point in time, is when you got a guy who can go out there and score the way that he can, they kept him from doing it, like, for the most part. Now, he had a couple timely shots. He hit most of his free throws. He was 5 of 6 there. He hit 1-3, and otherwise was out of the 4 threes that he tried. And otherwise, he went, I'm trying to do the math in my head, 3 for 10. So that's about as good as it gets, 9 rebounds for him. Defensively, they held them to, it ended up being over 40%, I believe, like 40.1. But that was kind of, that came when the game was essentially over. They were more hovering around like 38%. So that is really great stuff from the defense. They allowed 5 threes out of 16 attempts. No one really got hot. Bruce Thornton's the only one that had more than one. Went pretty well overall. There were a couple other issues. We'll get to the issues momentarily. Let's talk about what went well here in this first part. So obviously Hunter Dickinson, you got to talk about him. He played 36 minutes. He had 26 points, 10 rebounds. So he had a double-double. I was saying last week or whenever the last basketball-centric podcast was, they need a little bit more from Hunter Dickinson. Well, they got it. And especially considering Zeb Key was not in at key stretches, and Hunter Dickinson took full advantage. And even when it was him on key, he did a pretty good job, right? He did about as good of a job as he could. So, I mean, that's about as solid as you would hope for from him. He made timely shots. He made big shots. It seemed like a lot of the things that were going right for Ohio State at times were negated by Hunter. And then I really, the start of the game, and this is kind of what I wrote, is the start of the game kind of set the tone. And, you know, by the two consecutive threes, they're up 6-2. Everything's feeling pretty good. They go up 12-6, even when Ohio State gets it down to, I think it was 12-11 at one point, or what was 12-11. Yeah. And then it became 13-11. I mean, they never got closer than that. And every time Ohio State cut it to three, because it seemed like for a very long stretch, Michigan was holding like an 11-point advantage, and then they'd cut it to three, and then they'd balloon it back up to six, or they'd balloon it back up to eight, and they'd cut it back to three. That's kind of where Ohio State's threes came in. Michigan just applied pressure, and they made shots when they needed to make shots, shooting 50% from the floor. I mean, that's about as good as you can get. You know, it's been a while since we've seen them have that type of efficiency. Now, they weren't perfect from three, but I mean, eight of 23, that's pretty good. They weren't perfect from free throws. 13 of 18, would have liked to see them be a little bit better, but still pretty good. They weren't going crazy with turnovers. There were some untimely turnovers, but again, Michigan Ohio State had more points off of turnovers than Michigan did. But the Wolverines still found a way when they needed to score, they found a way to score. And they did it even though this was the type of game where even though Michigan won by 8 points, it kind of felt like Michigan won by 20. And in a lot of ways, they probably should have won by like 20. Naturally, you know, it doesn't always go that way. Also, another thing that went really well was the duo of Kobe Bufkin and Jet Howard. I'm not saying duo as in like they were intricately tied in the game. I'm just talking about two different guys who did really well. It was good to see Jet Howard. I mean, it wasn't like he was like taking a bunch of shots and, you know, doing a lot, trying to really take advantage of anything in particular. It just seemed like he was kind of biding his time, was quiet early. And that had me, I was like, you know, doing my takeaways and I've got my trigger fingers over the idea of being like, you know, Jet Howard needs to step it up. But at the same time, you understand he went out with injury a couple, you know, a week and a half-ish ago. So the fact that he was able to come out and score 16, be the second leading scorer for Michigan and third overall, pretty great, honestly. And his threes were very timely. And he hit all of his free throws, went 5 of 12 overall, 2 of 7 from 3. But it was like kind of a good like reacclimation for him, in a sense, to be in a big game like this and have that type of game. It was just kind of like quiet, 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 and then here he comes. And that was the tale of both halves. Kobe Bufkin, he had the second three right out the gates after Doug McDaniel's game opening three, and again, made a couple timely shots. He had 13 in this game, went 5 of 10, 2 of 4 from 3. And had 8 rebounds. So Kobe Bufkin is just slowly kind of getting better and better, which is the really good news as far as that's concerned. We've got plenty more to talk about. We'll talk about what I didn't like here in just a moment, and then we'll kind of give overarching thoughts and see where we kind of go from there. But listen, this year, the only app you need at your Super Bowl party is FanDuel, America's number one sports book. We're really excited about our new sports betting partner for Locked On because of the number one sports book in America, FanDuel. And if you're new to FanDuel, that's even better because they have so many great features that make betting on sports fun and easy. Download FanDuel now so you can bet Super Bowl 57 with a no-sweat first bet. You'll get up to $3,000 back in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. FanDuel lets you bet on everything from the money line to point spreads to who will score a touchdown. The FanDuel Sportsbook app is safe, secure, and super easy to use. Best of all, you can get paid your winnings instantly. So join FanDuel today at FanDuel.com/LockedOn to claim your no-sweat first bet on Super Bowl 57. That's FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sportsbook of the NFL. All right, I don't want to pretend like everything is sunshine and rainbows in this game. Because, like, this is too... These were two teams that people thought highly of before the season. Ohio State more than Michigan. Ohio State went into this game 11-11 after starting 10-3. They've now lost 8 of 9, I believe it is. Like, they were ranked, they were thought to be, oh, this is the class of the Big Ten, especially if you follow a bunch of reporters from Columbus like I do on Twitter, thinking like, man, This basketball team is better than the football team. And then they just fell apart. So Michigan had to do what it had to do. But there were a couple things that I obviously didn't like in this one. And some of them, like, didn't end up being as glaring as they felt. Like, I'd say, like, a third of the way or midway through the second half necessarily. You know, I'd start to write things and then would have to kind of backtrack a little bit here and there. But I mean, still, Ohio State was very active rebounding. They out-rebounded Michigan only slightly, but for a little while it was relatively, the gap was, I mean, it was like they were out-rebounding by like 6 or 8, and then Michigan kind of closed the gap. They ended up only being out-rebounded by 2. So it ended up not being that huge of a deal. But still, you want to see Michigan being able to hustle and do those types of things. Turnovers, that was kind of similar. Whereas there was a point when Michigan had 6 turnovers to Ohio State's 1. And it was like that. Now, 6 turnovers at the point in the game in which I noticed, which was somewhere in the, you know, mid-ish second half. Let's see, where did Michigan finish with turnovers? 9. So it ended up being a 9-6 disadvantage for Michigan. But if Michigan has 9 turnovers, that's not anything I'm going to be particularly upset about. But, you know, for a little while, like I said, it was 6-1. Oh, you know, and that's not great. Then they started defensively turning them over a little bit. Ohio State started pressing and things of that nature. So, with that, you know, you want to see Michigan get better. Michigan, as far as points from turnovers, only got 2 points off of their 6 turnovers. That's not great. 10 points to 2. I mean, Ohio State also got a lot of fast breaks off of those. So that's kind of where you're at with that. You turn those things around, right? The turnovers, I mean, even the rebounding. Ohio State actually took way more shots than Michigan. 7 more shots than Michigan did. You turn those things around, we're talking about a 20-30 point win, which is what it felt like in the end. So I would have liked to see Michigan kind of assert itself a little bit more. However, it didn't feel really like they were in danger of losing, but it did feel like if Ohio State could go on a run at any point, that's all they really needed. They went on an 8-0 run at one point, but Michigan kind of held firm for the majority of the game, right? Like their 8-0 run was to cut it from 11-3, and then Michigan pushed it to 5 and then to 7 or 8 or whatever, and that's kind of how the game kept on going. But against your rival, you would have really hoped to just bury them and really kind of walk away being like, all right. You can tell I'm really nitpicking here, by the way, but these are things that, like, I thought during the game. It was like, all right, this game could really be one where Michigan runs them off the court, and it just kind of didn't happen. Because keeping in mind, Michigan hasn't had a lot of those this year. So, this is funny. I'm looking at the box score. Oh, no, sorry. Never mind. This is all games. I'm looking at it and very confused. I was like, Jalen Llewellyn. Can go ahead and close that, I think. Overall, again, though, I think Michigan just did a great job. There were just like a couple things that I didn't like. And I think the one that I don't like the most, and granted, they aren't that deep. And even though on the broadcast, they're like, oh, they're really finding some depth. Kind of, but not really. Now, great job by Joey Baker to get 8 points in this game. He had a 3-pointer in the first half. He had 5, which was a 3-pointer and a 2-pointer in the second. That's it, though, right? Because, I mean, their bench is 3 deep. That's the kind of like disappointing thing, though, is it's like, it's technically you could go 4 or whatever, but they didn't bring out Shedder. So you would like to see a little bit more from the bench. Now, they did a really good job defensively, I thought. Aside from the fact that Terrace Reed had 4 fouls, as soon as he comes in to try to spell Hunter Dickinson, gets 2 quick fouls. Hunter, sorry, you're not really taking much of a break. That's kind of disappointing. But I think offensively, and it didn't really burn them this time, but offensively you need a little bit more. Now, it is a little bit misleading when you look at the bench points, because you look 20-8. Oh. Considering Sensabaugh is a starter caliber player and he came off the bench. He's their best player and he came off the bench. So that kind of doesn't count. But going forward, they're going to need more from just whoever they bring out offensively. It doesn't have to be a lot, but if you can get at least 4 points from every guy off the bench and have one guy get you more like eight, you know, if Joey Baker has eight like he did, and then you just get 4 and 4 from like Jace and Terrace, suddenly things feel a little bit different, especially considering three of the starters were in double digits. At one was flirting with it in Doug McDaniel, and Terrence Williams only had 6, 2 free throws, 2 field goals. So unless you you can guarantee all of your starters are going to get in double digits, you need a little bit more from your bench. That's more of a going forward type thing. Didn't matter as much in this game. Pretty much just a going forward scenario. All right, let's continue about where things go from here, right? Because it's great to beat a rival. Nothing beats it. I don't know that, and you guys can correct me if I'm wrong in the comments here, and I don't mind. But beating Ohio State in basketball doesn't have the same feeling, I don't think, as beating Michigan State in basketball. It just doesn't. It's not like football. I think they kind of reverse to some degree, but it still feels good. But where does Michigan go from here? Michigan is now, what, 13-10, 7-5 in the Big Ten. Ohio State is 3-9 in the Big Ten and 11-12. So things are on the up and up for the most part. The last two games start to feel a little bit momentum, but where does Michigan go from here? Let's discuss it here in just a moment. Before we do that, if you're looking for a delicious treat but don't want all the fat and calories, then you have got to try a Built Bar. We just got through the holidays, and I know my goal is to eat a little healthier this year. I have failed often with that, but if you're like me where you want to eat healthier but don't want to compromise taste, then man, I've got just the thing for you. You've got to try Built. With Built, healthy is actually tasty. Seriously, they're so delicious, you won't think they're good for you. Perfect for your New Year's resolution. What makes Built Bar so good? Well, for starters, they're covered in 100% real chocolate. That's right, real chocolate. And they come in unbelievable flavors like churro, peanut butter brownie, coconut almond. I'm not sure how Built does it, but these bars taste like a candy bar while maintaining amazing macros. And what's even better is that they're healthy. Only 130 calories and 4 grams of sugar with a whopping 17 grams of protein. And now you don't need to wait around to get a box. For years, we've been talking about ordering your Built bars at Built.com. Now you can get them at your local Walmart or Sam's Club. That's right. Head to your nearest Walmart today. Walk to the pharmacy section. Grab yourself a box of Built Bars. You can pick up a 4-bar box of cookies and cream, double chocolate, or coconut puffs. If you're close to Sam's Club, run in and grab a 13-bar box with our hit flavors, brownie batter, and churro. You can thank me later. All right. We've got just a few more minutes here to discuss... Discuss Michigan basketball things. Of course, it feels pretty good to have this Michigan basketball team now. They've got 2 wins in a row. The last time that happened was a while ago. We're talking Maryland, Penn State. I don't have dates with these, what I'm looking at. I mean, actually, Michigan was alternating. You know, they went 3 wins, 1 loss, 2 wins, 2 losses, 2 wins, 2 losses, 2 wins, 2 losses, 1 win, 1 loss, 1 win, 2 losses, 2 wins. Does that mean they're going to lose at Nebraska? Or hosting Nebraska, rather? I don't know. But they've got Nebraska, Indiana, both at home coming up in the next week. Then they've got a road trip on Valentine's Day to Wisconsin, Michigan State again, that time at home, at Rutgers, versus Wisconsin at home, at Illinois, hosting Indiana. Indiana feels a little daunting, and maybe that's partially because they took down Purdue. They're ranked. That's the only team that's currently ranked left on the schedule. Granted, Michigan gave Purdue a lot that, you know, was 75-70, so it wasn't exactly like they got shown the door or anything like that. But you look at some of these teams, if I was to pick right now, I would say they probably beat Wisconsin 1 of the 2 times. They probably beat Nebraska. They probably beat Michigan State. So we're talking, what, 3 wins left? Michigan State, Nebraska, 1 of the Wisconsins. I'm not that convinced that they can get any of the other ones. because Indiana feels a little daunting, but there's been a lot of times that Indiana's looked really, they thought they were really good and they come to Ann Arbor and they lose. So maybe they split with Indiana. That gets them to 17 wins. I think that's kind of what we're trying to get to here. I mean, Wisconsin, certainly that's not like a, well, they'll for sure lose that game. So that's good. They could sweep Wisconsin. That's a possibility. They're probably going to have a chip on their shoulder when they go and play at Wisconsin, kind of given, you know, what happened last year. Rutgers feels a little daunting, oddly. Rutgers, I think, is maybe the second best team in the conference behind Purdue, even though they're not ranked. And playing at Illinois, Michigan has not tended to do very well. But at the same time, we've seen Michigan backed into a quad one win with Maryland now rising up to that rank. Michigan got that. That's the only real blowout win of the season earlier in the year. Earlier, literally this year. And then you look at some of these other teams that they face. I mean, it's anyone's game. They don't have a Purdue on the schedule again. Ohio State doesn't get a chance for redemption. So that's all the good news, right? And Michigan's not really that far out of it. I mean, they're not going to catch Purdue overall, but they're only, I mean, probably not, but they're 3.5 games back. They're one of five teams that are 3.5 games back. Rutgers is second, 2.5 games back of Purdue. So it's a possible thing that they can catch up. And honestly, for me, I think you're just trying to get momentum to get into that Big Ten tournament and then maybe make a run. And then, you know, any given day, maybe you can make something happen. But I thought it was a solid effort. Now they've had two solid efforts in a row. That's all you can really ask for. The things that I talked about that I wasn't pleased about weren't giant deals, and they weren't in this game. But, you know, you try to find things that you say that could have gone better. You know, we're not talking about them turning the ball over with impunity. We're not talking about the perimeter defense. Things that we often talk about. So, pretty good. Pretty good. Plus, just like football, you beat Ohio State. Ohio State has lost the last two against both the football and the basketball team. So right now, they don't know what it feels like to beat Michigan. I saw someone on Twitter, like when I was looking for Twitter reactions, the Ohio State fan being like, Michigan still sucks. And they didn't have to go back this far, but they posted a picture of Curtis Samuel from the 2016 game. And it's like, oh, that's how far back we're going, huh? Couldn't find anything, you know, the last couple of years here. All right. I mean, granted, Ohio State had won two in a row at Chrysler. So good to have that streak broken. Take down the Buckeyes. You move on and hope that things continue. You get three wins in a row for the first time since the outset of the season. Right? Literally. Since Purdue, Fort Wayne, Eastern Michigan, or Pitt. I think Purdue, Fort Wayne's... Is that the only game I went to all year? It might be. No, I went to the Eastern Michigan game. Crazy. That's what happens when you move. Anyway, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We will be back on Monday. Remember, we're going to have some kind of canned content for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. But those will be coming to you. Mailbag will be Friday or Saturday. And that's it. That's the schedule. But we're going at least 6 days in a row. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. We will talk to you again soon. Peace.